This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Welcome to the special book launch webinar where today, alhamdulillah, I'm joined by the co-authors of this amazing new book that Yaqeen Institute has just launched. A book focused on dealing with trauma in an Islamic way entitled Your Lord Has Not Forsaken You, Addressing the Impact of Trauma on Faith. I'm your host for today, Ismail Kamda, the book's PO at Yaqeen Institute. And my guests today are the co-authors of this book, two of our most esteemed researchers, sisters Najwa and Sarah. Sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this webinar.
We're really happy to be here, alhamdulillah.
Thank you for having us.
Alhamdulillah. I'm really excited that we are launching this book. It's going to be, inshallah, a means of hope and optimism and healing, I think, for many people, because it's a topic that strikes to, it hits us in the heart. It's something so many people have been dealing with. And, during the process of editing the book and putting it together, I kept thinking of so many times in my life and in the lives of so many people I know when we would have needed a resource like this. And I'm so happy that the current generation and the next generation will have access to it. So to get started, Sister Najwa, can you tell us a bit about why you decided to write this book? Why the topic of trauma? Of all the topics to choose from, it's a scary topic. It's a topic that brings up a lot of memories for everyone involved. So why trauma?
Several years ago, Sheikh Omar Suleiman had sent out an email to Sister Sarah and I, and he had this idea about doing some kind of guidebook to talk about many different kinds of issues that Muslims face, so like substance abuse, domestic violence, depression, anxiety. And so when we were reflecting on how can we have a book that could incorporate all these different things, when you could probably write a book on each one of those topics. And through our own private practices and our discussions together, a common thread throughout life's hardships is essentially trauma. A lot of people walk around in so much pain and feel like I'm very depressed, I'm very anxious. And they very might well be. But something that has really not been addressed is that trauma is oftentimes the thing behind their suffering. And that their depression and their anxiety is really just a manifestation of that trauma. And when we just look at trauma in general, you see that, especially with complex trauma is when you have a series of traumatic events. And so you might look back and say, well, I didn't really have trauma. And we see that in our practice, right? We ask, have you had any experiences of trauma? And a lot of times people are like, well, I don't even know what trauma is. But there have been studies that show that about 2/3 of the population have experienced at least one type of trauma. And so our idea is that if we work on trauma, we are addressing the underlying issues that is helping contribute to this overall suffering. It is a hard topic, but we were hoping that it would be very impactful and inshallah be transformative for a lot of people.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. On the definition of trauma, one of the things I loved about the book is that you went to the much broader definition than what comes to many of our minds. Like when I think of trauma, I think of major events, like the death of a loved one or, an injury, an accident. But you went deeper than that these aren't the only types of trauma. There are other things that we don't even realize in our lives that are traumatic and that have an impact in how we view the world and even our relationship with our Creator. Can you just give the audience an idea of what does trauma mean and what does it include? Not just major trauma, but I think in the book you'll discuss minor trauma as well.
Yeah. For me, I like to simplify it. And I say trauma is any adverse experience that changes your way of thinking. And so what is traumatic for me might not be traumatic for Azar or somebody else and the other way around. But there are lots of things that people don't realize is traumatic. So in the study that they were looking at, that they identified that there was a lot of trauma just for most people, or for a lot of people. Divorce is a common one, parental neglect, living in like a very rough neighborhood. All these things, you know, when we think about trauma, you think about what, like war, sexual assault, you know, those kinds of things. But really, there are very a whole host of other traumatic things that can be very impactful. And you can also have small traumas that add up over time. So maybe you had bullying in middle school, and then you faced a lot of rejection in high school or in college. So it adds up. And when we look at it from that perspective, I think it also takes away the stigma that it's not just this really horrible thing that, you know, I can't move beyond this. It's something that, you know, it's beyond repair. No, alhamdulillah, like, and that's something that we hope to show with our book, is that it's more common than people think. And then there's opportunities for healing, alhamdulillah, afterwards.
Alhamdulillah, that's amazing. And I think, I hope our viewers and listeners take this to mind, that, you know, sometimes you may be thinking that, oh, the book's not for me. You know, I haven't experienced any major trauma in my life. But no, if there is something that's holding back your self-confidence, that's negatively impacting your relationship with your creator, you know, if there's something that happened in your life that had any negative impact on your mindset, I think this book helps, alhamdulillah. It helps us in many different ways. We cover a variety of topics and a variety of different traumatic situations and how to deal with it in a holistic and Islamic way. So you spent 5 years on this book, alhamdulillah. This is amazing, alhamdulillah. 5 years of research and hard work. And, you know, the hard work isn't just on the end of our authors, but also, you know, our creative team are putting in so much work with this book, our marketing team. I myself read through the book like 12 times to edit it and make sure we have no errors. So alhamdulillah, it's been amazing working with y'all on this project. And I myself learned so much through the process of reviewing and editing the book. Sister Sarah, could you share with us, what are some of the challenges from the author's side for writing a book on this topic and a book of this size and this nature?
You know, subhanAllah, when we went into this project, when we spoke to Sheikh Omar Sulaiman, we didn't anticipate how huge of a project it would turn out to be. We thought it would be probably a couple of papers, you know, it would be, you know, just something to kind of touch upon the topic of trauma, and like Najwa said, to alleviate some of the stigma and some of the shame associated with difficult experiences that people endure, especially when it comes to the impact that traumatic experiences can have on faith. A lot of times people don't create that link, and so they feel very alone in the fact that they might not be as connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after going through a traumatic experience. And so we wanted to make sure that was our main goal, is we wanted to address that, but we did not anticipate it turning into this huge series of papers, which have now become chapters, which have now become a book, subhanAllah. And we're very grateful for everything that came from it. It's been a wonderful experience, both in working together and, you know, being able to release something impactful. But it definitely had its challenges, for sure. I think that whenever you're going through a project of this size, and for that extended period of time, there's the natural struggle that comes with balancing your work. Both Najwa and I, you know, work as therapists, your family life, you know, we're both moms, alhamdulillah, and then, you know, writing and making the time for a project of this magnitude. So that definitely, you know, was a challenge, but something that we actually really, really enjoyed, and we found it wonderful to be able to write it. And then I think one of the biggest challenges that come with writing something about any type of any substance is that balance between wanting to create something that really resonates on a personal and emotional level with people, while also having like the scientific backing, the academic piece where people can understand the science and the brain science behind things and everything, while still allowing it to resonate in a very personal way with people. That can sometimes be a difficult balance, to be able to honor a person's experience, especially with something like trauma, because it's something that's so sensitive and so painful, while still also offering practical guidance. Like, we didn't want to push people past their personal limits, but we also wanted to kind of hold their hand through the healing process. And that's a very difficult balance, especially when we're, you know, we're really clear on this is not a substitute for therapy, but we want it to be helpful in a person's journey in their trauma. So balancing those things was definitely a challenge, and but we hope it was beneficial, inshallah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. May Allah accept this from you all. I'm really impressed by the work you all have done with this book, alhamdulillah, and I really hope it benefits millions of people. You know, the title of the book is quite interesting. You called it "Your Lord Has Not Forsaken You," and that's taken from Surah Ad-Duha, right? And I think Surah Ad-Duha is holistically the framework for the book. Am I right? I find this interesting because when I was growing up, you know, one of the traumatic events in my life was that my father was murdered when I was like 8 years old. You know? So I grew up without a dad. And during my teenage years, Surah Ad-Duha was like something I held on to. And back then, there weren't any writings on this topic. So, you know, it was just my own reading of the surah and latching onto its message that gave me a lot of hope and strength. So to see someone take that same concept and actualize it into a full, huge book explaining how, you know, these different concepts help you with different types of trauma, it's amazing. I think, inshallah, it'll help the next generation, you know, deal with such traumatic events much easier, because Surah Ad-Duha is so, so powerful. Anything you wish to add to about why the book was given this name?
Well, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your father Jannatul Firdaus and reunite Ameen. You with him and all of your loved ones there, because Ameen. That's an incredibly traumatic experience. So jazakallah khair for sharing that with us and for sharing how Surah Ad-Duha really resonated with you during your teenage years. Such a powerful surah, subhanAllah. Actually, I still remember the moment that Najwa reached out to me and she said, I got the framework for this book. It's going to be Surah Ad-Duha. And she went through, she was like, I was reading Surah Ad-Duha. I was reading the meanings of the ayahs and it's perfect. And I remember getting chills because it was perfect, subhanAllah. And even the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a time when he felt abandoned, wondering, like, I haven't received revelation for so long. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset with me? What's going on? And he felt so sad, right? And that loneliness and that feeling of sadness and pain, that's, you know, that's a feeling that people who've gone through a traumatic experience feel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this surah filled with solace, filled with reassurance, filled with healing to him. And it was just the perfect framework for talking about a topic that requires that needs that healing.
It's amazing how people in different parts of the world gravitate to the same surah for the same, you know, feeling of hope. And it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu to give him hope, and right till today it remains a source of hope for many of us. So, you know, the book is written from a very optimistic framework, you know, to really help the audience. And that's my next question for Sister Najwa. Who do you think is the primary audience for this book? So, like, folks watching this webinar, you know, why should they download this book? How will it help them? You know, which types of people do you feel would benefit most from reading this book?
We think that this book would be beneficial for everybody. And we really wrote it on purpose in a way that it has research, it has evidence-based practices integrated throughout, but we wrote it in a way that the average person can read it. And we also structured it in a way that it's broken up into pieces throughout, so that the mom who has two kids can, you know, read it during, you know, breakfast time or during nap time. So that the person who's working a lot of hours can be able to, you know, read chunks of it at a time. And we didn't want to just talk about trauma. I mean, trauma, I think everybody can relate to that, right? But we wrote it on purpose in a way to incorporate a lot of different psychological concepts. You know, we went to school, alhamdulillah, for psychology, but most people do not have that opportunity. Maybe they took, you know, a psychology class there, or maybe they didn't. And so to be able to talk about many different aspects of psychology, and then more importantly, to integrate spirituality throughout, we thought would be very, very beneficial. So that was our primary audience. But, you know, we also wanted to write it for imams too, because most of the time, because of stigma we have associated with mental health, a lot of people go to imams. And alhamdulillah, they have so much knowledge and they're trained in their own way. But for them to also be able to read this and say, oh, okay, wow, like I'm seeing a connection between the trauma piece and the spirituality that we integrated throughout. I mean, we even have like sections on ayat, hadith that directly connect to the traumas or the interventions that we're using, so that they would be able to also offer that to the people that maybe come to them but are not ready to approach counseling or talk to somebody about it yet. And then the last group of people is we were also hoping to kind of set a framework for therapists too. So back when there was a lot of trauma work several decades ago, it was really based off of, you know, cognitions, talk therapy. And then over time, with different research that was emerging, it started to shift to the body. It started to shift to the body and to different like expressive therapies. But something that you will notice throughout, even if you just go and research, it really is missing a spiritual component. And so we wanted to be able to make that framework, so also therapists can go and say, oh, hey, look, this is something I can integrate into my own practice. Or if they have a client who really likes this this approach to approaching trauma, then they could maybe even bring it into session and they can work on it together. So we really wanted it to be, you know, our contribution to the whole ummah. We hope that it's going to be received and that everybody, inshallah, finds some kind of benefit from it.
MashaAllah. So this book is not just for the therapist, as some people might think that, you know, this is a 400-page book on trauma. So they think, you know, therapist keeps it on a bookshelf. And when somebody comes in, they open to the right chapter. This book's for everybody. It's written in a very approachable manner. The language is very easy to read. The references are also, you know, easy to follow up on. And one of the things I love about it is that there's a lot of activities in the book itself. Like, you know, I find that when it comes to working with your own difficult thoughts and dealing with personal trauma, journaling can be very healing. It can be very helpful. And I love that you all have incorporated a lot of journaling activities throughout the book, that there's many sections where the reader is asked to stop and to think and to reflect and you know, to try some of these activities. I find this to be, you know, really beneficial. And I hope that, you know, people will do the activities and not just read through the text, because this is where the real work takes place. You know, when we confront our thoughts, I think this is something most of us are afraid of. We're scared of our own minds. We're scared of facing our own thoughts and working through them. You know, this is why we distract ourselves with social media and with technology and you know, entertainment. But you know, to just take time to sit with your thoughts and write it out, this is a very, very healing process for anybody. And I love the fact that you'll have so many activities in the book related to this. Sister Sarah, you know, some of these activities, would you like to give us some examples of them, or maybe just explain to us why did you all include this much activities into what people would have otherwise have thought was a manual for therapists?
You know, that's one of my favorite things about the book too, is there are workbook sections after each chapter. And so you have the chance to really put the information that you've gained to practical use, because a lot of times, and I'm sure many of you have that experience where, you know, we read, you know, those typical like self-help books and things like that, and in the moment you're like, yes, you know, like I know whenever I read like a parenting book, it's, you know, for the next hour things are great, and then you go back into the regular mode with, you know, with your kids. But when you actually have the opportunity to stop, write, think, reflect, use your personal experiences and use the knowledge that you've gained in that chapter to reflect on your personal experiences, that is the start of being able to break patterns and cycles. And that's the goal, because trauma brings us into a negative cycle, negative thought patterns, and it takes energy and it takes work to be able to break them. And it's often not enough to just listen or read about something. You need to enact it into your life, and being able to reflect and do an exercise that targets that particular negative cycle or negative thought pattern is very, very helpful and really transformative in the healing process, inshallah. There are just so many different activities that, you know, that we come up with. I know in one chapter, you know, for example, there's the reflection of in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are some things that you have that he didn't have, right? To be able to reflect with gratitude. There's another one where you know, a lot of times when we're going through a difficult experience, we zoom in on that experience, and that's all we can see. All we can see is that negativity, that difficulty, that hardship in our life. And in this activity, you're challenged to view it as a pixel in a picture and zoom out so that you can see the whole big picture and kind of write out, you know, about that experience. There are visualization exercises where you pause and you visualize certain things that can start to create change in your life. So there's something for everybody in the exercises. There are some exercises that will resonate with you. There are some that won't, and that's fine. But within every chapter, there is something that will resonate with you and that will be impactful, inshallah, in creating a positive change.
Inshallah. You know, I was just thinking about when I was reviewing the manuscript, the one that stood out to me, you mentioned now about seeing your challenge as a pixel of your life. I love the visual example you gave, that when someone fails an exam and they obsess, I failed my exam. But if you have actually make a list of all your exams in your life, it's like, I've done well in 100 exams and I failed one. You know, it's to put it in that context makes it so much more digestible. It makes it so much easier to handle. And you're right, we tend to let this get away from us. You know, we tend to allow our negative thoughts to dominate us. And these activities go a long way to helping us to change that. And you know, my advice to those who are watching and those who read the book is, don't just do these activities once. Some of these activities, you know, you need to turn them into lifelong habits. Like personally, one of my habits right till today is every morning I do gratitude journaling. And I've done gratitude journaling even when I've lost my job. I've done gratitude journaling even when there were literally riots and looting outside my home. Like, I'll still sit down and say, today I'm grateful that I'm alive. You know, I still look for something, because for me, this stops you from going insane with the test of life. That no matter what's going wrong, you stay focused on what's good. So that's why my advice is, don't just do it once off. Try to turn some of these things into habits, because these habits can really save you. They can really help you. And this is what I love about the book, that it's going to help people in the long term. It's not just a book you read once and then you put it away. You're going to be taking it out. You're going to be reusing it. You're going to be sharing it with your friends, with your family members. You know, and you know, right now we have the ebook out, but inshallah, we're hoping within a few months we'll have the paperback version available as well. And then inshallah, it will be available in bookstores and libraries around the world. And you know, the impact will be even more. But for now, make sure you download the ebook and get started reading it, because this is really amazing research that is so beneficial to every single one of us, because we all have things in our life that we need to work on. We all have these things that may either be holding us back in terms of dunya, or they may be affecting our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sister Najwa, I was going to ask you about this. A lot of times in the book, you'll discuss how trauma affects your relationship with your creator or the way you think about your creator. I found this to be very interesting, that you know, people may lose like the tawakkul because of trauma. Would you like to elaborate a bit on that, to give our audience some tips on how to deal with negative thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, just to give them a preview of what they can learn from this book, inshallah?
Sure. So one of the ways that we separated the chapters of the book is we looked at the 10 most cognitive, 10 most unhealthy cognitive distortions, or the most popular ones. Because the way that we experience trauma in our environment, it really does shape not just our world, but it shapes the way we think. And that extends to our relationships. It also extends to our relationship with Allah. Something that we've seen in our practice, unfortunately, but something that we really wanted to highlight, was sometimes when people went through adverse experiences at the hands of somebody else, they would find that it affects their relationship with Allah. So I'll give you an example. It's not unusual that we see clients who have suffered from neglect or abuse from their parents. And maybe their parents were practicing, or maybe their parents even misused, you know, certain concepts of Islam to their benefit. And so what happens for the child or the adolescent? They grow up associating Allah or Islam with someone who was not using it correctly, or even, you know, to say it quite frankly, abusive, right? And so when you have someone that close to you, like a parent, of course, that's going to affect how you see Allah, or even just how we interpret certain events. You know, something that we hear is, you know, I've been afflicted with traumas, I've been afflicted with hardships. Allah must just, he must have forsaken me, or he doesn't care about me, or it's a punishment. All these things are a punishment. And that's one of the reasons why we talk about Surah Duha, and we talked about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he had so many different hardships, and it wasn't because Allah had forsaken him or that there was something wrong with his iman. And so what we wanted to do was that we wanted in people's minds to be able to comb through that trauma so that they can distinguish, oh, actually, you know, I had certain assumptions about Allah. There are certain things that I might have thought that are not necessarily true. Perhaps, you know, Allah had saved me from this. Or he, after my trauma, I turned out to be better in some ways had I not experienced that trauma. That's called post-traumatic growth. And so we wanted it to be, you know, a source of healing. And so that people know that, you know, Allah has been with them this whole time. It's not necessarily a punishment. And so we wanted to foster that growth. Because one of our hypotheses, just kind of between the two of us, is how many people leave Islam because of traumatic events that they were not able to sort through. And they just attributed these things to Allah or the religion that were not really there. And so, you know, it is our hope that by going through the book and going through the exercises, that people can come back and say, well, alhamdulillah, like I feel connected, more connected to myself, but I also feel more connected and closer to Allah.
MashaAllah. You raised a very important point there. You know, I find from my experience, whenever dealing with youngsters who have doubts about the deen or who have left the religion, 90% of the time it's trauma-based, you know, and you ask them about their relationship with their parents or about maybe their community, you know, maybe there was an abusive member of their community that harmed them in some way, and you realize it's not really the religion that chased them away, but not being able to cope with their trauma. And it, again, shows us the importance of this book to Yaqeen's mission of helping people overcome their doubts and attain Yaqeen. So may Allah accept us from you all and reward you for this amazing work. Sister Zahra, just say there's someone who wants to read this book, but they're dealing with a very specific kind of trauma. And you know, they see a 400-page book, they're not sure if it's the right thing for them. How would you suggest they approach the book, keeping in mind that they have a very specific problem?
That's an excellent question, mashallah. When it comes to the book, we completely acknowledge that it's really long. And we know when we were going through the writing process, that was one of our main challenges, is how do we incorporate so much information and make it digestible? One of the things I would say is that even though it's 400 pages, it's not super dense reading, alhamdulillah. And every single chapter does deal, every single chapter will resonate with anyone. But there is a specific trauma that is dealt with in every single chapter. So there's, you know, grief, there's betrayal, there's jealousy, an experience that might, traumatic experience that might lead to feelings of jealousy, suicidal thoughts, you know, so many different experiences and so many different types of trauma. So every chapter is dedicated to that, but every chapter is still something that can resonate with anybody who has experienced any type of hardship. Because the thought patterns, even though we're talking about specific traumas in every chapter, the thought patterns that we talk about in each chapter are thought patterns that people experience in general, and people typically struggle with. You know, so one of the things that I would encourage anybody who might be, you know, might have something very specific that they're looking for and might look at this like 400 pages and think, you know, this is probably a little bit too much, is number one, you know, anybody who's picking up this book, start off with a healthy intention. inshallah, do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it to be a means toward healing and toward solace and toward peace, right? Starting in with that intention is going to be something that's very helpful in a transformative way. The next thing is, you know, look through the table of contents and see what resonates with you. Every title kind of makes it a little bit more evident what each chapter is covering, right? And so see which resonates with you. You can start, we encourage you to start with the introduction just because it gives a good framework, but every chapter is independent. So start wherever you'd like and with whatever resonates with you, inshallah, and you can bounce around, you know, as you like. The other bit of advice that we would want to just make sure to give you is, as digestible and practical as this information is, because it's really practical and because it is geared toward traumatic experiences, it can bring up a lot of really difficult emotions for people. So just recognize that there might be some heavy stuff that comes up for you as you read through the book. And so tread a little bit lightly as you go. Take your time, do it in small chunks. If you ever feel overwhelmed, take a break. Also be able to identify when, if things get to be too heavy, that might be a good indication that you might want to actually start working with a therapist and go through this book with a therapist. Because if it feels like too intense to go through it on your own, then that probably means that there's some really heavy duty trauma in your past that is coming up. And so you want to make sure that you deal with it in as healthy a way as possible, inshallah.
Inshallah. That's very important advice. And again, a reminder to our viewers that this book is not a replacement for therapy. It is a supplement. It's a way of assisting you through the process. And yes, for many types of major trauma, even many types of minor trauma, it's best to work with a qualified therapist to guide you through the process. So as we reach the end of the webinar, I want to thank our creative team. You know, a special shout out to our creative team because they spent the past 6 months working on beautifying the book, adding in these beautiful images and infographics. And I myself was completely blown away by the work they did. You know, it was above and beyond what was called for. And, you know, a special thank you to that team. You know, there are many people working behind the scenes at Yaqeen that do not get that much credit. Those of us who are on the screen, on the YouTube channel, people see our faces, we get more of the credit. But behind the scenes, there's a huge team of hardworking, sincere individuals who put in so much effort. And a book like this was a team effort, you know, from the authors, the editors, the creative team, the marketing team, the cover designers. All of reward everybody who was involved in the process and added to everyone's scale of good deeds on the last day. Before we close off, Sister Najwa, do you have any closing comments? And then Sister Sara, you can give your closing comments as well.
Just that, you know, I'm really excited. You know, it's been several years in the making, and it's very exciting to, inshallah, see it in PDF format and inshallah in book format. And like you said, I mean, the creative team has been working so hard. A big thank you to you, because we know you have been reading it over and over and over again. And also to the creative team in the past 6 months, but they have been working. They had infographics from the very beginning, back in 2017-18, and they put so much hard work into it. So just, you know, feeling very, very grateful for Yaqeen to have this opportunity and to finally, you know, see, inshallah, the print in our hands.
Inshallah. Sister Sara?
Inshallah. Yes, you know, to reiterate, Jazakumullah khairan to you, Sheikh Ismail, and to the creative team and to the entire team that has been just so wonderful to work with throughout this process. You know, I can't even express how impressed we have been. You know, art and creativity, I like to be creative, but artistic is not so much. And seeing the way that the creative team has managed to convey such intense topics in a simple image is incredible, mashallah. And it's really wonderful. It adds so much to the book and to the experience of reading the book. We are definitely really excited, but we also just really pray that, inshallah, you know, when we were starting this book and throughout the process, we had kind of an image of the person that we were writing for, like this faceless person who was struggling and who felt alone and who was feeling disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but wanting to be reconnected to Him. And that was who we were picturing as we were writing this book. And so we really hope, inshallah, that it reaches that person and reaches all of you and is beneficial in creating transformation in your thought processes, your mental and emotional health, and first and foremost in your spiritual health and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And we pray that it's going to be beneficial, and we're very, very privileged to have worked on it, and inshallah to see it come together as a book like this. Alhamdulillah.
May Allah accept it from everyone involved. So for those of you who want to download the book, it's available as a free download on the Yaqeen Institute website in the book section. And we have many other free ebooks available as well. Alhamdulillah, we have built up a wonderful catalog of ebooks over the past 2 years. We have The Proofs of Prophethood of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by Sheikh Muhammad Ashinawi. We have the Quran 30 for 30 ebooks, the Dua a Day ebook, The Habits Journal by Dr. Tasneem. And this is our latest edition. And Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for assisting us in being able to put this out and to produce this. So for now, the book is available as a free download, but we do have plans in the very near future, within the next 6 months, inshallah, to have it available as a paperback as well. In the meanwhile, please make sure you click on the button to download and get yourself a PDF copy of the ebook, and that you get others to do it as well, so that as many people as possible can benefit from the work of our beloved sisters and the entire team. And please make dua for us. Make dua for everybody involved. Allah accept our efforts. He keeps us sincere. That He allows us to put out more resources to benefit the Ummah, and that He continues to use us to serve this deen. Jazakallah khair to everybody watching for your time, your attention, your support. Jazakallah khair to both of our guests for the amazing work that you do. May Allah accept everything that you do for this deen and for your communities, and may He continue to use you to serve the deen, and may He bless your families, and may He bless your communities, and may He bless the Institute as a whole. Thank you once again to everyone for your time and attention. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.